Self-care isn't selfish. It's sacred. Reclaim rest, renewal, and wholeness as acts of faithful discipleship. Join Sycamore Creek for this 4-week series to break free from burnout and embrace God's call to holistic well-being. Your soul needs a rest. Let's find it together.
We're good to go, but we need this first, right? Okay.
Sacred self-care. Marcus, we start with this next message about sacred self-care. I think we should stop and just take a couple breaths, like get in the moment. So
okay. Let's do it.
If you're watching there, take a couple big deep breaths with us. Mark, I'm a cognitive time traveler.
What does that mean?
It means that my brain goes to like the future and what all I have to do in the future. So a lot of my cognitive time traveling lately has been taken up with the campus that we started at Eastwood, and we're not quite to financial self-sufficiency yet. We're like at 60 to 70%. So I start to think about like, well, how are we gonna get there? And what do we need to do this year to get there? And then contingency plans on if we don't get there by this much, like in each one, you know, it's like a big flow chart that I start to build in my brain as I cognitively time travel into the future. Do you ever have experiences like this?
Oh yeah, all the time. So I think if I'm gonna cognitive time travel, it is to the future. Mm-hmm. I love to long-term plan and sequence. One of the things that's on my brain right now is, you know, my daughter Kate has been going through having a surgery, and then she's got another surgery that we have to figure out. And thinking through like her school schedule and her swimming schedule and her water polo schedule and when there are breaks and when there are busy seasons, and then syncing that with my schedule and my wife Jana's schedule. And just like, I love to try to think through like, how are we gonna make this all work? And it's very much on my mind right now.
That stuff is hard even without having recovery from a surgery, just keeping a family's calendar with teenage kids on track.
Plan through everything.
I don't just time travel cognitively to the future. I also go to the past and I think back on conversations I've had, pastoral care moments that I did, moments where I like made a fool of myself, and I sort of rerun those conversations in my head. I think about, could I have done it better? Or then I also, of course, like in those moments, think about like after the fact, the perfect roast.
Oh yeah, the perfect comeback.
The perfect comeback.
It always comes to you later.
Yeah. Like, oh man, if only I could like actually time travel and say this quippy thing. There's one moment in particular that I find myself going back to, and I think about it as the worst day of my life, is when my dad and I got into a big argument, and he had dementia at the time, and it was ridiculous. Like, it's not ridiculous. I mean, actually what he was saying was ridiculous, but he had dementia. What I was saying was ridiculous too, but I didn't have dementia to blame it on. So I've thought back, man, if I could rerun that, what would I do differently? And there's a lot that I would have done differently. How about you? You said you usually go to the future, but do you ever go to the past?
I do usually go to the future, but I do go to the past as well. And I think some insight into me and the sort of the way I think and you know, replay things is that in general, I don't really replay instances where I didn't say something or where I was like overly compassionate, overly nice. Mm-hmm. Usually I replay things where I spoke without thinking or I was overly critical or overly harsh. Those are the sorts of things that I tend to replay. And I think that's just sort of my personality. One example of that is not that long ago, Jan and I were preparing a message together for Choosing Us, this series on marriage.
A lot of pitfalls in preaching with your spouse.
Oh my word, yes. So we're getting ready to give this message. We're working on content together. And Jana tries to talk to me about something related to content in our message. And whew, I completely missed it. Mm-hmm. And I did not respond well to what Jana had to say, and it took a little bit for us to get on the same page again. And that was so humbling. Like, we're working on this message about marriage, and I totally messed up content that I was going to be teaching our church on. I replayed that conversation several times.
Was that actually filmed? Can you literally go back and watch it?
Thank God. No filming.
So I live in that tension between traveling cognitively to the future and traveling cognitively to the past and missing the present.
Yeah.
Not being mentally present right here with the things that are going on around me, what God is up to right here, right now.
Me too. Dr. Shaniqua Walker-Barnes writes about this sort of tension we have, right, between living in the past and living in the present. And she says, living out of time in these ways, that's either in the past or in the present, can be an obstacle to attending to the self-care practices that my body, mind, spirit needs today. And I think what she's pointing us to is this reality, this reminder that even as people of faith, we sometimes forget that our mind is sacred, that our mind is sacred. And what can happen all too often in the midst of forgetting that our mind is sacred is that we don't take care of it. We basically treat our mind like a machine. You know, we talked earlier in the series about a car. We treat it like a car that you just run into the ground until it breaks down.
Many of us are anxious, distracted, and overwhelmed. There's times of transition, like graduation, where we cognitively time travel to the future. We live in an information economy, which is often called an attention economy these days. 24/7 news cycles, smartphones, social media algorithms designed to hijack our attention.
Yeah, our mental spaces, they're filled with comparison. They're filled with worry. They're filled with criticism. Not peace. At times, you know, as people of faith, I think even in the midst of this time travel to the past, and even our prayer lives can feel like they're frazzled and not peaceful in the midst of this. All too often, we don't treat our mind like a gift. We treat our minds too often like a tool to be used, a tool that we try to make efficient, a tool that we push as hard as we can.
Yeah, I get that.
And as a result, we end up with exhaustion. We end up with burnout. And we also often end up with this sort of disconnect, a disconnect between the people around us, but also a disconnect with God.
Yeah. Dr. Walker Barnes points us to how caring for the mind is living in the present. And she says, mindfulness helps me to be aware of what I need by drawing my attention to what is. Is there pain in the body? Fatigue? Am I feeling anxious? Loneliness? That this mindfulness she's talking about is like, not when we cognitively time travel to the future or cognitively time travel to the past, but we pay attention to what's happening with us
right here.
Right here. So we're going to get to a chat question in just a second, but let's take a moment to just, well, wherever your mind is at, I mean, maybe they're listening to us. Maybe their mind is somewhere else. Let's just become present. Let's take, again, a couple deep breaths.
You've taken a couple deep breaths, and we're going to pause a moment here for a question for discussion. Our first question today for discussion is this. When was the last time your own thoughts made you feel more exhausted than energized? What about more energized than exhausted? And what was going on? Let's take a moment and let's talk about it.
Oh yeah. My favorite toy. This is the best part of filming these.
I don't always get to use this with the when it's like just me.
Gotta sync all the cameras up.
Yeah.
Mark, today at all of our campuses, we're celebrating graduates, people who are graduating from high school or college, and the second graders who are graduating into third grade and they're getting their Bibles, and the fifth graders who are graduating into sixth grade and they can now start to go to Teen Fuel. These are all big things.
I'm excited about that.
And today we're also continuing the series called Sacred Self-Care. It's based on a book by Dr. Shaniqua Walker-Barnes. Sometimes I just call her Shaniqua because Shaniqua was a friend of Sarah and mine when we were at seminary at Duke Divinity School. It's kind of fun to see the people that we knew and learned alongside of, writing the books that we're using these days. And this whole thing is in a bigger series of series based on the topics and the themes in Jesus' most famous teaching, the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus talks really specifically about kind of the care of our mind, particularly when it comes to worry. And he says this, "This is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing?
Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to God than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life?
Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and God will give you everything you need."
So in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks about worry in our minds. Mm-hmm. And the Apostle Paul, an early follower of Jesus, a missionary for Jesus, he also talks about our minds. And he says, be transformed by the renewing of your minds. So Paul reminds us, we're going to be transformed into something new, and it's going to happen through the renewing of our minds. Now, in another place, Jesus quotes the Old Testament, he quotes Deuteronomy, and he says that we need to love God with our mind. And Jesus says this, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind." All your mind.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've usually thought of that as intellect. But I think what Dr. Walker Barnes is reminding us of is that the mind is also this self-care, this mental health, this like where all of this stuff happens for us about being present or time traveling to the future or the past. And sometimes our mind doesn't keep up. And Paul also shares about how God's Spirit like prays for us in those moments. I mean, it's amazing to think about the Spirit of God praying for us. But Paul says this, "We don't know what we should pray, but the Spirit's very self, pleads our case with unexpressed groans." Some of the other translations, or the way that I know it from more traditional translations, say that the Spirit intercedes for us in groans too deep for words. That's a verse that I bring out in pastoral care settings where someone's maybe in a coma or at the end of life, and I remind people that God's Spirit is praying in this person. We don't always know what the cognitive state of that person is, but maybe they're praying, maybe they're not, but God's very Spirit prays for them in these sort of groans. I love that poetic, groans too deep for words.
It's really encouraging.
Yeah.
I think in the midst of our limits, particularly our mind, limits of our minds, to know that the Spirit is at work, even in the midst of those limits, is encouraging.
There's some things that words can't even comprehend or put together. So now Dr. Walker Barnes reminds us of this. "Each time I sit at my meditation altar, I do so with the expectation that God is in the stillness. When I settle on the breath as my anchor, I am focusing on the very life force that God breathed into me."
God, when we slow down and we're present, God meets us, not in the noise, but in the quiet, not in the hustle, but in the breath that we breathe. God invites us to renew our minds. God invites us to make space, to be present in the moment. And in the midst of that being present, we can find healing. We can find peace. We can find presence. I want to invite us to slow down again for a moment, and let's just take some deep breaths before we get to our next question for discussion. Here's our next question for discussion. The question is this: what does it mean to you to love God with all your mind? When do you do this? Where do you struggle to do this? Let's take a moment and let's talk about that. Are we ready then?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah,
yeah. Okay. We need to do this still, right?
Didn't you do it already?
I would remember.
You would remember. I'm sure you would. Yeah, Tom doesn't forget when he gets to use that.
All right, so this is what we're thinking about for this week. This is when we're asking people to do something this week. We okay. wanted to do one simple, small practice to sit in silence for 5 to 10 minutes. That's it.
That's it.
Just sit in silence and breathe. Okay. And perhaps there's like a breath prayer that you could do. But this is the one that Dr. Walker Barnes recommends, that in this sort of 5 to 10 minutes of silence, that we say this affirmation, this kind of prayer affirmation. I am created in the image of God. I am God's perfect gift. I am created in the image of God. I am God's perfect gift. Now, there's all kinds of things that you could do in this. I like to take like a line or two from a psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Or I am fearfully and wonderfully made would be one that goes a little more along with this. I'm God's perfect gift. But you sit in that for 5 to 10 minutes and you notice, what's the inner dialogue? Do you have a hard time like claiming that there's like, you are a beloved child of God? Is there shame there? Is there a blockage? Is there struggle? Can you rest in that sort of foundational identity of who you are in relationship to God?
In the midst of that, Dr. Walker Barnes urges us, meditation grounds me in the present. It allows me to connect with spirit. When we're doing this, when we're sitting in silence, the goal is not to do it perfectly. It's not perfection. Mm-hmm. The goal is presence.
All right, so we're going to do something that we don't pull this out very often, but occasionally, maybe once every 5 years, we take some time in our worship services to stop and sit in silence together. And each of our campuses is going to pick how long that silence is. And probably there's going to be some noise. Probably there's going to be some distractions. Probably kids, you know, young kids will be making cooing noises. They might even be crying. Those are all good noises, by the way. Because if you don't have those noises, it means that your church is dying. But rest in the awkwardness of it. Mm-hmm. So we're going to put a timer up and give you the chance to practice what we're asking you to do over this next week. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
All right, so we've taken some time to be silent, and maybe that was by yourself, or maybe it was an awkwardness of like a whole bunch of other people. But we're going to stop now. We're going to give you a chance to chat or write a answer in the comment section. What was that experience like for you? Was it easy? Was it hard? Was it life-giving? Did you struggle with it? Would you like to do that every single day? Let's talk about it.
There you go. That's your turn. I get one, huh?
You can have however many you want, Mark.
Okay.
So we've been practicing taking breaths. We've been practicing silence. And think about what would our church look like if it became a sanctuary for our minds?
Ooh, I like that phrase.
A place where quiet was holy and where rest and silence was part of a sort of mental discipleship, mental following of Jesus. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and God will give you everything you need.
Yeah, I think if we were to live out this being a sanctuary for our minds, our small groups might look differently. Maybe our small groups would begin with silence, with this practice of being mindful and present in the moment. Now, maybe that might involve holding hands, but maybe that's not everyone's thing, so maybe not. But our small groups, even our age-based groups, you think of like Teen Feel or something, might have space where we just presence in the moment.
Mm-hmm. I think our meetings could have a sort of clarity versus a kind of clutter, a sort of busyness of doing stuff, or like jam it packed. Like we just do a couple of things really well and with really good intention rather than trying to do everything and just look busy.
I think our community might model what it looks like to love God with our whole minds. Mm. And I think, as we love God with our whole minds, we'd be missing something from this message if we didn't mention mental health resources and the fact that at Sycamore Creek, we have a whole list of counselors that we work with, that we recommend for people, and that caring for your mind, mental health, is a big part of what we're talking about today and the sacredness of our minds. And I think, too, this ties directly into the values that we have of Sycamore Creek. We're curious, we are creative, and we're compassionate. And that includes with our minds.
Shaniqua hopes that we would come to this not just with a plan, but with a proclivity, she says. And that I think a proclivity is sort of a disposition, a kind of general posture, a kind of like a character trait. Remember we did that series a while ago about virtues, and virtues are the kind of ruts, like the positive ruts that get in our heart and our lives. And you can have bad ruts, but you can also have good ruts. And that this would become a character trait of not just what we do, but who we are.
Let's become a people whose minds are not frantic, but are focused. Yeah. Let's become a people we're not filled with fear, but we're filled with faith. Let's become a people whose mental well-being points us to a deeper truth, that we are sacred, including our minds. Let's again pause here as we contemplate this, and let's take some deep breaths.
Mark, a benediction is a kind of final blessing, a kind of prayer or affirmation for what we would hope for ourselves as a community. So I'm gonna give a benediction to those who are watching. You are not your racing thoughts. You are not your mental exhaustion. You are a beloved child of God, made perfect in God's love. And so go now and be that person. Be that person. And be open to the grace of God right there present with you right now. Go in peace.